the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, we all know the importance of diet for maintaining a good, healthy lifestyle. There's a number of diets out there. There's everything from Atkins diet to paleo to vegetarian. What is the right diet for individuals, and how does food and diet in particular impact our health? Joining me on the program is Dr. Lisa Wiederman. She's an optometric physician. She's been practicing for over 30 years. And Doctor, why don't you share with our clients how you got into nutrition with not only your own personal life, but what you're doing with nutrition today?
Hi, well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, this has been a long road for me as far as understanding how what we eat is so important. And really, food is thy medicine. And I just started really looking into what is a healthy way to eat? Why is our society so disease-ridden at this point, more so than ever? And, you know, we've been told for so long that to eat lots of fruits and vegetables, high fiber, lean meat, and low fat, and it's made our society sicker and sicker and fatter. So looking into my own struggles of sugar and carb addiction, it's processed food that's actually really addictive for many people. I gradually made my way to low carb and then hit upon the carnivore way of eating, which has been life-changing for me. And through this past 12 years of eating this way, I'm 56 years old. I'm in perfect health, not on any medication, and feel better than I've ever felt in my life. I flip cartwheels on the beach. I do handstands every time I'm at the gym lifting weights. And it's really just changed my life and been eye-opening to understand that the bottom line is sugar and seed oils and processed foods and grains are really the evil of all disease. It's really so prominent in so many different ways. 63% of the American diet right now is made up of sugar, flour, and seed oils and trans fats. And it's so toxic to our bodies. And by eliminating them, it's such a huge, huge benefit to reversing disease and preventing disease, everything from heart disease, hypertension, stroke, cancer, type 2 diabetes, obesity, arthritis, autoimmune disease, so many things, stroke, Alzheimer's, dementia, depression, anxiety. I mean, through the years of all that I have been surrounded by this community, time and time again, there's so much evidence that people are being miraculously cured of these diseases I just mentioned. And it's not prominently out there in the media because there is so much money, trillions of dollars made in the pharmaceutical industry and in the healthcare industry. It's basically a disease maintenance industry, in my opinion, instead of a healthcare industry, because of how sick and unhealthy our society has gotten, and there's hardly anything, there's no money being poured into research for dietary changes to prevent this, because all these companies and organizations that might do the study, they're funded by pharmaceutical industry and the food industry that makes all this processed junk. So that's really what kind of brought me into this arena of, I'm just so passionate about trying to get the word out that, I mean, even if people just eliminated seed oils, sugars, and grains from their diet, most people will notice a huge, huge change fairly quickly.
Doctor, can you explain to our clients, what are seed oil? Is it things like olive oil, the type of oils that we use in cooking?
Seed oils are basically in just about everything that comes in a box, a bag, a bottle, or a jar. So we're talking about canola oil, corn oil, cottonseed oil, palm oil, pretty much any oil. I mean, olive oil and avocado oil of all the oils would be, you know, a suitable thing to use in cooking. But we're not talking about cooking oils so much, because most people say, oh, I don't buy a big bottle of canola oil. I don't use canola oil. Well, you might not use it, but it's in everything. You go to a restaurant and you eat some French fries, it's deep fried in some sort of vegetable oil, canola oil, soybean oil being big culprits and so unhealthy and toxic. This stuff absorbs into our cells and takes a long time, years, to get out, and it's very toxic, inflammatory. And so these oils, you look at any package, whether it's Ritz crackers or mayonnaise or salad dressing or barbecue sauce, it's in everything. It's in a loaf of bread. If you look at the, look at all those tiny words on the ingredient list, and you'll find cottonseed and or palm oil. It's so prominent. So, you know, when I say for people to avoid seed oils, a lot of people will say, oh, I don't eat that stuff. I don't eat canola oil. It's in everything. Tortilla chips, potato chips. It's everywhere. And it's become so prominent, and people just don't realize it, that these companies put it in all of these foods because it's cheap and it allows for a long shelf life. And if it would ever get out there, how important it is to avoid those, it would be life-changing for so many people and for society as a whole.
Well, when you take a look at how Americans go to the grocery store and shop for food, I was in the grocery store yesterday, and it was just amazing watching people who are somewhat overweight and watching what they're buying. They're buying stuff in a can. They're buying stuff in a box, where really, if you want to stay healthy, you would avoid the middle part of the store and just on the periphery where you have fruits, vegetables, and meats.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's people say, oh my gosh, how do you do that? How could I do that? It's like, well, you know, man for millions of years hunted animals and ate the fatty meat and was so healthy. There was really no heart disease, no strokes, no hypertension, no cancer, no diabetes. It all came about from the westernization of our foods. And, you know, there's a scientist and a researcher named Weston A. Price way back in the 1930s. He studied populations on like five different continents, 14 nations, hundreds of tribes. And he really was comparing those that were still on and eating their native traditional diets and found that they were free from disease, free from tooth decay, free from cancer, free from arthritis. And then as these societies were starting to what was called westernize and modernize their diet with, you know, the foods that were coming over that were processed types of foods, all of a sudden they were developing diseases and they had poor immunities, they had heart disease. All of a sudden, all of this was gradually, as the modernization of their diets happened, they got sicker and sicker. So the big picture of all this is really, when you increase processed foods, you increase disease.
Why is it, you know, we hear so many stories, there's so many diets out there. There's the South Beach diet, there's the paleo diet, there's the vegan diet, there's a vegetarian diet, there's the keto diet. Explain the difference between a lot of those and why many of them don't work as prescribed.
There's a lot of different reasons, but in my opinion, through the 12 years that I have been in this carnivore community and myself just eating totally an animal-based diet, there's so much information that's emerging of how unhealthy vegan and vegetarian diets are. There's so many people that are turning on a dime or becoming so debilitated after years and years of a vegetarian diet that switched to carnivore and find healing. There's huge Facebook groups on former vegetarians turned carnivore and how they're healing so many things that have gone wrong. But one by one, so each of the diets, there's, you know, Atkins was a very meat-based, animal-based diet. And people say, wow, that worked so great for me. And then I gained all the weight back. Well, you gain the weight back when you go back to your addictive foods and start going back to eating your pizza and your chips and all the other foods of modern civilization. And that's pretty much, you know, what I'm on is an extreme Atkins permanently. You know, I don't eat any processed foods. I don't eat pasta, grains, bread, chips, pretzels, nothing. Like, that is not at all what I consider an optimal human diet, based on ancestrally what we were meant to eat. But these other diets, I think none of them are promoting eating processed foods and sugars. Some of them allow certain amounts of it, but all in all, for people who sometimes eat little bits of this and that here and there, it ends up being a slippery slope back into your old habits of eating the addictive garbage food. I mean, I tell people, they say, well, I'm fine. I eat a little bit of this, but, you know, why am I overweight? Or why can't I control my blood sugar? Why can't I get off my hypertension meds? It's like, well, You got to stop eating sugar. Sugar is very toxic. Sugar is very inflammatory. So to me, a healthy diet would not be one that includes any amount of sugar. And everybody's different in their tolerance level of vegetation. Vegetables themselves have anti-nutrients and phytates and oxalates in them that for many people, after years and years of eating it, become inflammatory and express itself as disease states. And I think for the most part, I don't think everybody has to go as extreme as I do, which is just a fully carnivore animal-based diet. But I do feel that everybody could benefit from eliminating all sugar, all grain, and all seed oil. I mean, there's books upon books written about how, you know, damaging grains are. And there's a book about called The Fiber Menace about how we really should not be including fiber in our diets. I mean, I have not eaten a speck of fiber in 12 years. I don't eat fruits. I don't eat vegetables. And it's not necessary in our diet, nor is any carbohydrates. So all of these different diets, I tell people, find something that works for you, but it should not be including grains, seed oils, or sugar, and then go from there.
You know, doctor, I had a client that had type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and also was taking a statin drug for high cholesterol. And he went on the carnivore diet. He got rid of his blood pressure medication, no longer dealing with diabetes. And then he also got rid of taking statin drugs and has never been this healthy. So why is it we do not hear about this? Because if you were to tell somebody a carnivore diet, that's just the opposite of what we're being told that we should be eating. Bill Gates has got a new book out on saving the planet. And he's talking that we should all be eating artificial meat, which I don't buy. If you've ever taken a look at some of the stuff that goes into products like Beyond Meat, there's more chemicals in the product itself than anything else I can think we're eating.
Yeah, horribly, horribly unhealthy, this fake meat stuff. It's just basically chemical glop. And, you know, Bill Gates is, I think, the largest landowner in the U.S. now. And there's way too much financial interest on his part now for, I guess, planting soy fields and corn fields and whatnot with his agenda to try to switch into a plant-based world. But so incredibly unhealthy. I basically would buy a farm and start raising cattle myself if somebody was going to prevent me from purchasing meat. But there's so many, I'm going to say there, when you say nobody's really heard of this carnivore diet, yeah, in general, it seems like a very unusual way to eat. And bottom line, when you look back for millions of years, man hunted animals and ate them, and this was our natural diet. It does seem weird to avoid all of the, I want to say, just kind of gluttonous food that's always available in front of us. But to be optimal, we would really eliminate all of them from our diet. And the issue is you have to research it yourself. You have to go dig into some online research, because it's not out in the media. Again, it's all because of the monetary influence. But there now are, so there's Dr. Sean Baker. He's a orthopedic surgeon, and he has now given up practice to devote all his time and his efforts into the whole carnivore way of eating and spreading the word. He actually was working in a hospital-based situation and patient after patient with knee pain and doing surgery. And he found the carnivore diet himself about 4 years ago and had just remarkable success in how he felt. And he started recommending it to his patients who would come in with bad knees that were really kind of in line for having knee surgery. And he'd say to them, hey, you know what? Why don't you give this carnivore diet a chance and let's recheck you. They would come back 6 months later, basically hugging him and not needing surgery, that their joints felt so much better. They felt great. And he actually got written up by the hospital because patients were canceling surgeries and his surgery rate went down and the hospital really didn't want anything to do with his promotion of the diet way to cure their arthritis and their joint degeneration. And that's when he got really at the point where he couldn't lay his head on the pillow at night with what was going on and how he was basically being told, because he wasn't pursuing continuing to practice in the way he used to, which is just cut and do surgery and get the income. And so, and there's cardiologists now that have looked into this and researched and are eating a carnivore-based diet. So it's not just some hokey thing that some people are kind of finding out about. I mean, this is a serious thing. There's a lot of research scientists in this field that are promoting basically a high animal fat, you know, way of eating. It's basically fatty meat, and it's extremely healthy, and it does not cause heart disease. It does not cause rise in your triglycerides. And I tell people, I mean, I've literally just eaten meat, seafood, eggs, and cheese solely for the past 12 years, and my triglycerides and HDLs are perfect. And again, I'm in perfect health. What's to make us think that the natural human diet, which again, you've got to think back to man for millions of years, was hunting animals and eating them. And even right now in societies up, you know, the Eskimos, the Maasai, the Inuits, you know, Eskimos up in the Antarctic, they're not eating plant food. They're eating whale, seal blubber, fish. They're eating animal foods and a high fat diet, and they're in perfect health. And they're actually very lean. And it's just really important that people understand that nobody is looking out for your health but you. The you know, society as a whole, the medical community, these doctors are not trained in nutrition. They really are not. And the medical schools are funded by pharmaceutical companies, and they are taught to listen to a symptom and write the prescription. That's what they're taught. They're not taught, like even for me with as an eye doctor, you know, even something as, let's say, just dry eye. So there's different drugs. There's Restasis, there's Xiidra, there's, you know, there's prescription drugs for that. There's over-the-counter lubricanteers. That's millions and millions of dollar industry, I'm sure, if not, you know, billions, because that's what we tell them. It's like, oh, you've got dry eye, you've got a keratitis, and I understand that you're uncomfortable. So that's what we do. We just tell them to buy this stuff. Meanwhile, if they'd understand that it's so important to have vitamin A for tear production, and vitamin A is not in fruits and vegetables, because the vitamin A in that is a carotenoid. You really need retinol. It's very interesting to understand that there's a conversion that has to happen. There's really only 4% of the carotenoids that are in fruits and vegetables that can even be converted to vitamin A, which is retinol. So to think that, oh, it's vegetables that we need to have healthy eyes, it's really important to understand how our body, you know, uses nutrients. We really need lard, butter, beef tallow. We need those fats. That's where all the fat-soluble vitamins A, D, and K are. And again, like if you think, oh, eat carrots, they're high in vitamin A. Well, they're really not. The only reason that the USDA allows anything, any sign to say, oh, eye health for carrots, is because there's carotenoids in the carrot. But again, there's so little conversion. Like I repeated, it's like only 4% of the carotenoids in vegetables are even available to be converted to the retinol that our eye needs. So I think a lot of the issue is that we're not educated the way we need to be educated because of the filtering of the information, because of the almighty dollar.
Are there other books that you would recommend for our listeners that would like to do their own research and look into this type of diet and what the health aspects might be?
There's a book called Carnivore Cure that's written by Judy Cho. It's extremely informative of this way of eating. There's another one called Carnivore Code by Dr. Paul Saladino. There's another one called The Carnivore Diet by Dr. Sean Baker, the physician I spoke of earlier. There's actually many, many different books, and they're all great. The Carnivore Cure goes into a little more in-depth about the nutritional aspect of it and to what extent you will possibly need for your own situation to start with a total elimination diet down to carnivore, and then potentially what vegetables you could add that are the least toxic. It's so funny because when people like listen to me say something about a vegetable being toxic, I just know from all these years of being in this carnivore community that for many people, eliminating plants has cured them of so many things, like even psoriasis, eczema, rosacea. It's just the list goes on and on. Even there was a woman who's herself carnivore for about 5 years and had miraculous improvements in her health, put her father, who was at pretty severe Parkinson's level of, you know, basically just sitting in a chair. And after 2 months, the guy was up practically dancing around the kitchen. And there's videos that are out there of people that are showing these kind of changes. And I you know, I'm excited to be in this carnivore community because of just that, that there's people who have felt so helpless about being on their diabetes medication and being on these hypertensive medications all their life. I tell my patients that they come in and they've got, you know, the starts of diabetic retinopathy. I tell them they've got some bleeding in their eye, and I talk to them about their A1C and their glucose, and they tell me that their doctor tells them they're going to be on medication for the rest of their life. And I say, no, that's not true. You can absolutely reverse type 2 diabetes. You can get off all your medication. Why would you want to have to buy that medication for the rest of your life and take medication, which in itself is actually to an extent damaging to your body? And here's the thing. I tell people, literally go onto YouTube and type in reverse type 2 diabetes. Just type those words in and start binge watching the videos, and you will get the information to show you how. Is it easy? No. I tell my patients, why isn't it easy? Because you have to give up all these foods that you love, and that and people don't realize that are actually addictive. But what nothing tastes as good as healthy feels. You have to come to the realization. And I understand some people don't want to make the choice to give up their chocolate and their cake and their ice cream, and you know, and other people who are trying and just can't seem to figure it out. I say, look, give the carnivore way of eating a try. Do it for 90 days. What do you have to lose? And people will inevitably, they go, wow, I did it for 90. I feel so great. I'm going another 90. End up doing it years and years and years and say, this is for life. I feel so great. Why would I want to do anything differently? So, you know, there's so much information out there. It's a matter of being your own health advocate, because the health industry and the food industry is your enemy.
You're on Instagram. I believe you have a YouTube channel. How can they follow you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, it's Carnivore Doctor, spelling out the word doctor. So it's Carnivore, D-O-C-T-O-R. And I post on there all sorts of different things about the carnivore lifestyle, the carnivore way of eating. I did just a couple days ago, I just do a little cooking demonstration of a seafood medley, all sorts of, you know, ways to make the carnivore diet very delicious. Facebook, I also have Carnivore Doctor on there, and I'm a carnivore doctor on YouTube, and I have a lot of different carnivore recipes and also some informational interviews. But that's really the best way to reach me. I do coach people who are coming to this way of eating and want a little bit of experience support. So I usually am contacted for that through my Instagram, or my email is carnivoredoctor2020@gmail.com. If you contact me there, and you know, I'd be happy to give anybody information about it.
Well, I have actually 3 or 4 clients that have gone through the very same thing that you're talking about. And in every instance, doctor, they've gotten rid of their blood pressure medication, their statin drugs. They're no longer dealing with diabetic issues. So I've seen it work in person. Thank you so much, and all the best.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.